North Pole, Earth's last true wilderness. In this harsh land, almost nothing can survive.
Hello! Arthur! Go away! There's nothing to see! That's not Santa's son! And I'm not an elf! There's nothing up here! Oh, or down there! There's no army of 1.6 million elves planning the delivery of 2 billion gifts in one night! That's just a story for kids!
Is he telling you about... Oh, it's brilliant! Christmas every day!
That's not Arthur!
I'm Arthur!
He's not the son of Santa! Santa doesn't exist! And he's gone out anyway!
Santa! Dad! And it's my dad!
And there is no gigantic flying sleigh doing practice maneuvers over the pole!
How?
Polar bear! In a hat!
Arthur Christmas.
Well, hey, good morning and welcome to Northridge Church. Welcome home and welcome to the family. And whether you are ready for it or not, whether you are prepared, we have entered the 25-day countdown until Christmas. And so hopefully you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and let me be one of many people to wish you a Merry Christmas. And in this season, in these 25 days, it can get really chaotic. It can get really busy. And in our culture, we're busy setting up the tree, getting the decorations and the lights up. But one thing that's true about this season is we have something to slow us down just a little bit. There's something that our culture really loves about the season. It's those moments where we as a family can get together, or maybe it's a friend group or it's a significant other, where we gather around our couch, we put our blankets on, we make a warm cup of hot chocolate, we grab some popcorn, hopefully ours is pretty good today, and we watch those Christmas movies. You know, the Christmas movies like Home Alone 1 and 2, like the Santa Claus and Elf and Frosty the Snowman, and whichever one is your favorite. We love to slow down and just remember, right? There's something about these movies that brings up the nostalgia of Christmas in the past. It slows us down, the movies that make us laugh and cry all in the same moment. And that's what we're gonna do this season, this Christmas season, is we're gonna be using Christmas movies as our illustrations to remind us of biblical truths. And it might seem like an odd strategy, but this is actually an ancient one. The Apostle Paul and Jesus used cultural ideas to teach the culture biblical truths. And so we're gonna start this series called Christmas at the Movies, where we're using movies as our illustrations. And this morning, we're gonna start with the movie Arthur Christmas. Now, I'm just curious, how many of you have actually seen this movie? Show me your hands at all our locations. Yeah, those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're gonna thank me later, because this is an amazing movie that's not on many Christmas lists. It's one of my favorites for the season. We watch it with our kids pretty regularly. So let me set the backdrop of this movie. It's set in the Claus family at the North Pole. You see, Santa is getting older, and he's getting ready to retire and hand the reins over to one of his sons. He's got two. One's name is Steve, who is kind of a tech genius, and then Arthur, who is this goofy character. And so the movie begins with the delivery of billions of presents all over the world. But yet, this Christmas, there is a problem. One child has been missed.
A child's been missed!
Not necessarily.
A child's been missed!
Do you want to wake up the whole North Pole?
Good idea.
A child's been missed!
Everything all right?
There's been a glitch.
A glitch? We've missed a child!
Really? Dear, oh dear. That's awful. How did you let it happen, Stephen?
How did I thought it was your mission.
Oh, no. This is your department.
What are we going to do?
What must we do, Stephen?
There's nothing to do. The mission was a success.
But we can't leave a child out of Christmas.
Sunrise at destination is 7:39 a.m. There's no way to get there in time.
No way.
Except, of course, the S1.
The S1. Righto.
No! The S1 has just traveled 7 million miles. We could damage it.
Oh, dear.
And risk the lives of the elves.
Oh, my, no.
I'll go, sir. Bryony Shelfley, Wrapping Division, Grade 3, sir.
Who asked you?
I wasn't called up for field duty this year. I served out my mission in gift wrap support. I wrapped 264,000 presents in 3 days, sir. If you want that bike delivered in a perfect state of enwrapment, then I'm your elf.
No one is going. It's impossible.
But this child...
It's a margin of error of 0.00000001514834%, sir.
Wow. I mean, hello? Where's the champagne? My department has delivered the most outstanding Christmas ever.
Oh. Well done, us.
But there's a child without a present.
Arthur, Christmas is not a time for emotion. We will get 47785BXK a present within the window of Christmas. We'll messenger the item. It'll be there in 5 days.
But that'll ruin the magic.
If there was any way at all to make the drop tonight.
But it can't be done.
Your brother knows about these things. I won't sleep easy after this, Arthur. But there it is. Can't be done.
Merry Christmas.
You see, there's a problem. A little girl named Gwen. She's gonna wake up on Christmas morning, and she's not gonna have a present from Santa. And you can see there's an argument in the Claus family. Steve and Santa, they believe it's okay to get this girl the gift within the window of Christmas. But obviously Arthur feels differently. And this idea of one child being missed reminds me of a story, a parable that Jesus told to an audience. We find it in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 4. Jesus paints this picture. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. And loses one of them. So Jesus begins in his culture with a very cultural norm, a shepherd. And the shepherd is watching over his flock. He's taking care of them and he's guiding them all throughout his journey. And you can imagine a shepherd in this culture, every once in a while, maybe every 4 hours, he would count his sheep just to make sure every single one is there. And on one morning or evening, he begins to count his sheep, and he only gets to 99. So he counts again. And yet again, he's still missing one. What does the shepherd do? Now, I think logically, if we were all using our mind logically, it wouldn't make any sense for the shepherd to leave 99 sheep in the open country in danger for the sake of just one, right? What kind of good shepherd would put the majority at stake for the sake of just one rebellious sheep? And honestly, we can live this way as a church. We can take this mentality on, right? As a church, we can constantly live in the comfort of the 99, right? This means we often, as a church, just celebrate what God has done and neglect to understand what he wants to continue to do. And so many churches fall into this trap where we just constantly are celebrating, look what God has done, right? Look how many campuses we have. Look at all the stories of life change in the past that we forget that there's still a sheep lost. This is exactly how Steve and Santa justify not getting this gift to the girl, because they look at all the millions of gifts that they delivered successfully that they neglect the one that's still missing. And that causes us to ask ourselves a question. A question that we should, I think, consistently ask ourselves throughout life as Christ followers is, does my heart and does your heart break for those who are far from God? Does our heart truly break for that lost sheep? Now, before you answer that question, it's really easy as Christians to say, yes, of course, my heart breaks for my family members and for my friends and my coworkers who don't know God. Sure, my heart breaks. But honestly, does your heart truly break if you're not willing to do anything about it? If you just live in this lifestyle, comfortable in the 99, yet not willing to put yourself in danger to risk finding the one. You see, Arthur's heart broke because a little girl would wake up on Christmas without a gift. It broke so much that he was willing to do something about it.
Just can't be. It can't. It just can't be. It can't. It just can't be.
What's all this cadoodle, young man?
Grandsire, it's this little girl. She's been missed.
Ha! So much for your brother's fancy pants technology.
No, Steve and Dad racked their brains, but they said it's impossible.
Is it now? Mr. Child, dear, oh dear, send shivers down my shins.
In 2 hours, she's going to wake up, tear downstairs, search under the tree, and the look on her face. But there's nothing there. She won't understand. She'll think she's the one kid in the whole world that Santa doesn't care about. She'll feel so left out. On Christmas night, he comes. Gwen can't not have a present from Santa.
Do you know, Arthur, there is a way.
It's impossible.
They used to say it was impossible to teach women to read. Follow me. Hello, Evie.
I thought it was scrapped years ago.
So did everyone else.
Can I? Icelandic birch. Arctic balsa. Built in 1845. Able to reach 50,000 miles per hour at a height of 40,000 feet.
Over here, you string of tinsel.
Potash of carbonyloroxy amylocitrate. Magic dust.
Mined from the Aurora Borealis.
But she doesn't still go.
Not just a hobby, Arthur. Great, great grandchildren of the original eight. What are the others called? I could never ruddy remember. Bambi?
John, you there with the white ear. And you?
Not you, you bag of fleas.
I'm not really good with big animals.
Piff.
Don't get bit, mind. They can smell fear. Let's hitch them up.
Oh, Grand Santa.
Excuse me.
You can go to Gwen. On the old sleigh with the reindeer and the magic dust and everything. It's a miracle.
So you see, Arthur's brokenheartedness for this little girl caused him to do something about it. That he actually didn't say his heart broke and sat there and did nothing. And what's interesting is Jesus paints that same picture in his story. Look what he says. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he, the shepherd, leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? It's almost as if Jesus turns our logic upside down and he says, what kind of shepherd would they really be if they weren't willing to leave the 99 for the sake of the one? Jesus makes it seem odd that the shepherd would stay in the comfort of his 99 and neglect the one sheep that was rebellious and ran away. And the point that Jesus is making is any good shepherd's heart would move him to pursue the lost sheep. It was the shepherd's love and heart breaking for the one sheep that would run away that would compel him to go pursue that sheep. Now, here's what's interesting about this story. Here's what's interesting when we read our Bible. Right, when we read our Bible, like stories like this, we like to put ourselves in the shoes of the shepherd. If we read about heroes in the Bible, we like to pretend we are the heroes. But the reality of the story that Jesus is teaching his audience is, you and I, We're not the shepherd. We are that lost sheep that ran away. We are the little sheep that decided that our way was better than God's way. And what ultimately caused us to run from God is a thing called sin. Sin caused us to run away from our shepherd. And I get it. Sin is a word we really only use inside the church gatherings. And sin is really simple. Sin is rebellion to God. It's when we choose to think in our finite minds that our way and our choices are better than God's. And here's the reality that the Bible teaches us over and over again, that we are all sinners. So we've all run from the shepherd. We've all been separated by God by our own choices that rebel against God. And here's the amazing thing about Christmas. Is that we don't get jazzed up and celebrate Christmas because of all the traditional things. They're fun, they're exciting. We don't get excited about the decorating of the trees and the giving of gifts. We get excited about Christmas as Christians because our shepherd was willing to pursue us. Our shepherd was willing to leave heaven and come to earth to find that which was lost. That's why verses like Isaiah 9:6 during the holiday season should breathe life into us, because it says, for to us, the lost sheep, a child, a savior is born. To us, a son is given. John 6 says it like this, Jesus' words, he says, for I have come down from heaven. I've left heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. But I think Luke 19 paints the picture perfectly. It says, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, he came to seek and to save the lost. That lost sheep that ran away, God as our good shepherd was willing to pursue us, was willing to come after us. And you have to ask the question, what would drive any good shepherd to leave the 99 for the sake of one? Well, it's love. That God loved us enough. You see, it was the shepherd's love that drove him. That God, his love is hard to explain. It's hard to fathom because it's so different than our love. If we're honest, we would not leave 99 for the sake of one. That's how different God's love is than ours. And the same thing that's true about God was true about Arthur. What drove him to deliver this gift to this girl? It was his love for Christmas and wanting little Gwen to experience it. And so there would be no obstacle that would get in his way from delivering that gift.
It's over a mile. We've got no sleigh, no reindeer, and you can't even walk. Look what you're doing.
I can cycle!
Oi! Come back! What about the wrapping?
The church! She lives by the church! Happy Christmas, cows!
Meltdown. 10 seconds to Figgy Flensburg. Snow. German. Warehouse of Hagrid.
What the? Look, everyone! It's Arthur! He's delivering the present!
It's Arthur!
Meltdown paused.
Come back!
Oh, my head! Ye Baubles, a beautiful young reindeer. So who am I then?
Okay, so I'm not great with children. Does that make me a bad Santa? You're hardly perfect. Let me guess, you put in the address, you saw a list of trilews and just clicked on the first one? You're just like Arthur.
Am I?
North Pole incoming.
Sir, the soldiers have shot the sleigh.
Look, sir, it's Arthur. He's still going.
Arthur?
No one gets an unwrapped present on my watch. Three bits of sticky tape. Three. Stand up. Finger.
The church. Whoa.
There's always time for a bow.
You see, in Arthur, is he was willing to do whatever it took to get that gift to that little girl. It didn't matter what obstacle came in his way, what hurdle he had to climb. And if you watch the movie, you will see endless amounts of things that could have easily made Arthur give up. And yet he persevered. And as silly as this movie is, it's a reminder of Jesus. Because Jesus gave up everything to give salvation to you, to bring salvation to you, to pursue that which was lost. No hurdle would get in his way. And the most famous passage in your Bible reminds us of that truth, right? John 3:16 says it like this, that God loved the world, that he loved you and I, that he would be willing to give, sacrifice, surrender his one and only son. That if you and I would choose to surrender, believe in him and what he accomplished, that we would receive a gift. That we wouldn't perish, but we would experience eternal life. You see, Jesus was willing to do whatever. He didn't just leave heaven and come to an earth to be worshiped and adored. No, he came to die in our place, to give us a gift. And I love how Jesus ends this story of this shepherd and his sheep. Luke 15, he says, and when he finds it, when he finds that lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. Here we're given a window into the heart of God, a window into how Jesus feels when that which was lost is found. He says he finds his sheep, he puts it on his shoulders, and he tells his neighbors and his friends, I rejoice because that which was lost is now found. The pursuit of our shepherd. And so as we prepare for the holiday season, as we begin the chaos of the Christmas season, I just want to remind you of two things. Two questions that I want you to ponder and consider this morning as we prepare for Christmas. The first one is for those of us who know Jesus, right? We've put our faith and our trust in him as our Savior. We believe in his cross and his resurrection. And my question for you and your life is, are you in pursuit? You see, we aren't the shepherd in that story, but we as Christians follow our shepherd's example. And if he was willing to pursue us when we were lost, we should be willing to pursue people far from God until they experience the grace and mercy of Jesus. You see, this story reminds us of the commission that God has placed on us as the church, that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And so here's the reality for your life today as a Christ follower. This week and through this season, you are going to interact at work, in your family, with your friend group, with people who are still lost, searching for something that will give them hope and meaning. And you hold it. Are you pursuing them? Are you sharing what God has done in your life? Are you inviting them to experience Jesus? This whole series, Christmas at the Movies, is to make it easy for all of us to just make the invitation. Hey, we're gonna be using cultural movies. Who doesn't like Christmas movies? And you know what challenges me about Arthur? He was so passionate to get this girl a bicycle. And yet here you and I hold the gift of eternal life. How passionate are we to get it to others? Are you in pursuit? But my second question is for a totally different group. Because maybe you're here today and you are still that lost sheep. You're still wandering through life hoping to find something that will fulfill you, satisfy you. And the reality is we've all done this. We've all chased things in this world that ultimately leave us empty. Searching for something else. Because the truth is Jesus is the only one who satisfies. And my question for you today is, have you been found? Are you still thinking your way is better than God's, running and rebelling from him? Well, maybe today is the day Were you like that sheep? Jesus, you allow Jesus to put your life on his shoulders where he can rejoice because that which was lost is found. I don't want to give you a moment, an opportunity to do that. And so would you just bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you would say, man, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus, but you desire to do that today, it's simple. It's not a magical prayer. It's just a cry of your heart. If you'd be willing to just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And my sin has caused me to run away from you. I'm lost. But today, God, I want to be found. And so with my heart and my lips, God, I'm declaring that I believe in your cross where you died for my sin. Today, I'm choosing to turn from it and to believe in your cross and your resurrection. And God, today, I want you to be my Savior, my Redeemer. Come into my life and change me from the inside. And my challenge for you is if you've prayed that prayer, if you said those words to Jesus, just tell somebody, a family member, a friend, whoever invited you, your campus pastor. We would love to rejoice with you. Father, thank you that while we were still sinners, you pursued us. That while we didn't deserve your love, you gave it to us freely at a great cost to you. Thank you that you are our good shepherd that will pursue that which is lost. We praise you, we celebrate, because on Christmas you came. We rejoice in that, in Jesus' name.